grace for favor. This is my sleep to reap what I have sown. Y'all listen at this. See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it, giving honor and praise to God, who is the head of my life on this very day, a day that I've never seen before, a day that you've never seen before. But we are just such blessed people on this morning because God chose to allow us to see this day. Nobody else but God. Nobody else but God allowed us to see this day, allowed us an opportunity for a new beginning, a new dawning, a new wave of change, a new wave of change. Hallelujah. And we just thank you this morning, God, for just being, allowing us to be in our blessed place today, to be in your presence, to come before you, Father, to break the bread of life and drink the living waters. I say good morning to, good morning, good afternoon to our international partners, to our partners all over the United States of America, to our ABM family, Apostle Temple, Lakeisha Spencer Temple, our First Lady. I just say good morning on this morning with joy in my heart, just to be grateful, an attitude of gratitude, just to be here another day. We never know what the next person may be going through, but one thing we know, you may have went through weeping throughout the night, but God wakes us up, and we should have a heart full of joy with an expectation that is so great. We minimize God, but on today we need to learn that we need to maximize Him. Just take it to the full potential, which we know that there is no ending to God. And we need to keep that in our mind as we go on. As you go on your day, know that God's love never fails and neither does it never end. So you need to just keep on moving and walking and knowing that God is with you because He loves us so much. Today proves it all. Today proves it all because you woke up. Minister Shakita, if you're on the line, you can come on in and bring us in a prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to take this moment just to thank God for all the things that took this far.
I'm not. Hello.
And we still give God the glory. We just want to thank Him. Amen. I know that many of you, my God, in this day and hour, my God, you are being blessed or you're looking for the blessings, but we just want to give God His glory. Amen. And I'm pretty sure that many of you are very excited, not excited because of the things that is going on in the world, but you are excited because the expectation that is coming in your life. Amen. And I truly believe that as you begin to engage into God, not when you feel like it, amen, but at times when you don't feel like it, when and at times when you don't, my God, want to push on. I'm telling you, them are the times where you are not proving yourself to man how holy you are, but you are proving yourself to God how faithful you are. And I truly believe that when you prove yourself to God how faithful you are, God will see you through. Amen. I believe Sister Shakita back on. God bless you, Sister Shakita. Amen.
God bless you, Apostle. I would just like to take this time to glorify God with the magnificent glories that He's given us today. Thank you, God, for the life, the gift of life itself, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for coming and gracing us with your presence, oh God. We thank you, God. We glorify, we magnify your name, oh God. We go, oh how, God. We go, oh how, God. We love you, oh God. May we blessing to your glory, oh God. We lift your holy name up, God. May we continue to receive your blessings, oh God, that you have for us, oh God. We love you, oh God. May the world know, Lord, that we are the ones holding your righteous way, oh God. May we continue, God, to press, God, with your word, God, and do your righteous things, oh God. May the world know that we are a group of people, Lord, that is doing your righteous things, oh God. Let them know, God, that we need them, Lord. Let them know that, God, you need them, oh God. And we are set forth, God, just to bring the message of your love, Lord. That's all, God. Your glory, God. That's all, God. Your mercies, Lord. That's all, God. Your riches, God. That's all, God. Your love, God. That's all, God. That's the message forth where we have come here to, Lord, to set forth across the world, across the nation, to love your love of glory, God. All the things that you poured upon us, Lord. We want the world. We want all of us to have those same riches and glories, oh God. And we thank you, God, because you are the one that poured those riches down upon us, oh God. And we thank you, God. This day forward, oh God, we shall stand in your glory, God, and we shall walk strong and we shall stand strong, God. We love you, oh God, Jesus Christ, oh God, we love you. Give us the strength, Lord, to go forth, Lord. The strength, Lord, to carry your name, oh God. The strength, Lord, to be yours, oh God. We love you, oh God. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Apostle Temple came on and said something, and then Minister Chiquita just said it too. They just used the word differently. He said push, she said press. And on today, that's something that we're going to talk about. I know a couple of years ago it was a saying out push, pray until something happens. I just want to add that, put a double P with it, pray and praise until something happens. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, which I stood on and helped grow my faith and put me in a place to know that there is nothing impossible with God, was at 16, Paul and Silas, when they were in a jail cell. And also, another scripture that attached on to that was the prayers of the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And just knowing who Paul and Silas were, they were righteous men. They had a personal relationship with God. They were Jesus chose them, and they had proven themselves to be faithful. They had proven themselves to be righteous, and that's why their actions and the things that they did, they prospered in it. And when I'm talking about the things that they did, if you flip over to Acts 16, it's talking about, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, Paul invited Silas to come with him in Philippi. And they went down to the prayer ground. And as they were going and walking to the prayer ground, it was a fortune teller there. And every step they took, she was behind them, letting the people know that they were coming to save people. They were coming to allow people to teach them about salvation, to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And of course, the Romans, that wasn't their practice. It was immoral for them to do that. It wasn't something that they had known. You were doing something against the law to do it. But not only that, this young lady was making money for the people, a group of men that was there. So moving on in the story, the men got upset. The men got upset because Paul called the spirit out. He called the spirit out. She was freed from the spirit. So that caused their money to stop. They got angry. They went to the officials. A mob came around them. They beat them. The book of Acts, if you read it, you must read it, says that they were beaten. They were beaten. They were beaten, and they were put into prison. And they were put into prison, not just thrown in a jail cell like people may know now. They were put into prison, severely beaten, and their feet were locked into chains. They were locked into the chains, the stocks, where they could not move. And the jailer was told that to make sure that he paid good attention to them, so they would not escape. But one thing about Paul and Silas, what I learned, what helped me with this story was, for one, they had to have immovable faith. They had to have a personal relationship with God. Then they had to have immovable faith. And that faith, the faith that they had, caused a divine intervention. And then that we also need to know from this story that the scriptures that says, with God, nothing is impossible. This story builds your faith. It lets you know that God cannot be minimized, that anything is possible with him. It also lets you know that when you're in a time of trouble, when you're going through, that you need to pray and praise, because it also states that when they were around midnight, instead of them sitting there crying, instead of them being in a place where they were just so undone. Now, mind you, they're beaten. They were beaten back there in that time. They beat people. They sent Bartholomew alive. But this is what the Romans did. So they were in pain. They were in agony. They could have been in a place of despair. But instead of them being discouraged, instead of them sitting and worrying about their circumstances and their situations, they reached out to the higher power, their God that they had built a knowing of, a relationship, a God that they had became comfortable with because they knew who they were. They knew who God was, but they knew who they were, and they knew the ability and the authority that Jesus had left them with. And they acted. They acted on that authority. When Paul sat and cast out the demon, he believed that that was something that he can do. His faith had gotten to that level. His faith was not putting him in a place where he had doubt. He had faith that moved that demon out of that girl. He knew when he spoke it out, there's nowhere in the scripture that's showing that he had any doubt. What it said was he had been got aggravated. He had been got tired. That's what it said, tired of her doing the same thing day after day. So he did. He took one of the abilities, one of the things that Jesus left us with, and he cast out the demon. He had the demon to leave her, which caused a effect for them to be beaten severely, put in jail. But they didn't just let it stay there. They did not just let it stay there. By midnight, they started praying and praising, started praying, the Bible says, and singing hymns. Singing instead of crying, instead of moaning, instead of doubting, which on today we can do the same thing because the word of God also says what happened yesterday, that can happen today as well. And I'm paraphrasing that as well, that I'm a little excited about this story because it just keeps Hebrews 13:18 says that, God has not changed. It basically says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's Hebrews 13:18. So what they went through, we too today, in building our relationship, in trusting, and believing, and building our faith, and pushing, praying and praising until something happens, can happen on today in your circumstances and situations. But see, it's a process. It's something that you have to work on day in and day out. When those trials and tribulations come to you, you can't sit and back down and then feel that you're a defeated foe. You have to pick yourself up and not let those situations beat you down, but you beat them down. And how do you beat it down? You start praying. You start praising, and until something happens, until something moves as Paul and Silas did. But the beauty of the story is that even through their trials, their tribulations, them getting beat, that this was not the first time. This may have been a first account where they were thrown in the cells, locked up like that, and God wanted to show when you praise me and you pray to me that I can have a divine intervention take place in your life. That might be why this story was shown, put in the Bible, for people to understand that and see that this is who our God is, the God that we minimize. But at the end of the day, Paul, we know for a fact because of scriptures in the Bible, he went through some things. He went through all types of things. He witnessed his co-laborers going through different things as well. But at the end of the day, once he decided to follow Jesus, once he decided to make Jesus the head of his life, he received salvation. He knew not to never let it go. And then he reaped the benefits, even through the trials, through the tribulations. He reaped the benefits. He kept pushing because he realized that he would receive a reward at the end of his trials and tribulations. But I'm not talking about that today. What I'm talking about is putting yourself in a place where no matter what you have going on, that you are continually praying and praising God, that your faith, doing the praising and the praying, the communicating with God, going into a place of worship with him, that you, your faith is being built. Your relationship is being built. You're in a place where you're seeing God move in areas that nobody else but God can move into. I can attest to that. I can give you many testimonies, but the testimonies that I give you are my testimonies. I'm sitting there urging you all today to not get yourself in a place where you feel like things cannot happen. Because one thing about God, when God said that he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He's proven it over and over and over. And he does not have to prove it, because when you look at the very earth that he built, the earth and all the different planets around him, nobody but God did it. You have to, that praying, when you're praying, when you're praying and you're communicating with God, you're building faith. You're building, you're sitting and you're talking to God and asking him for things. And as things go on, as time go on, if nobody on this line right now can't say that at one point in time or several times that God has answered prayers. But we get into, in our humanistic nature, we get into a place, because I do it all the time, and I'm a work in progress, and I'm asking God, Father, when a situation comes before me, do not allow it to overtake me, but allow me to stay in a place of calmness and add the things that I have been taught throughout the years and put them together and come to you, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and lay them at your feet. And why I'm laying them at your feet, because I know you, Father. I know you, and I know what you can do. I know that your word does not come back void. I know what you told me. It's not about what you told Paul. It's not about what you told Mary. It's not about what you told any of the prophets or the disciples, the prophets of the old, the disciples of the new. It's about what you and I have talked about. It's what you and I have developed. And I can't do, I tell him all the time, I can't do it by myself. Because, see, I still have stumbling blocks. But if I can just, you can just help me. If I could just confess to you or somebody what I got going on, and I continue to commune with you, talk with you, I know something's going to happen. I know. I'm not talking about some fairy tale. I know that God is a changer. He's a way maker. I know that he's a healer. I know that he is he has divine intervention. When man tells you one thing, but you go before God in pureness with a genuine heart, and you land everything at his feet, that he will do what he said that he will do. God wants us to pray. He wants us to praise him. That is one of the most, Apostle Temple said it yesterday, one of the most powerful things on earth. A friend said, powerful, you take the key and you put it in the door. Prayer is the key, and you put it in the door and you unlock it. And all you got to do is walk in it because of the relationship. That you have developed with God. Paul and Silas, able to sit their prayers, their singing hymns, and everybody else was listening, God sent a divine intervention, an earthquake to shake the foundation. That's what it said. It shook the foundation. The guard was so distraught because he felt like he had been failed his assignment, that when he woke up, he was ready to kill himself. And it also shows that Paul wasn't a person of hate and deceit. That may who Saul might have been, but Paul wasn't. Paul said, no, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. We all here. They could have ran out. They could have ran out. But that was the virtue in him. That was the virtue. That was, he realized that, okay, although this took place, there's an assignment here as well. There's an assignment, and his assignment was, because of what God had shown this man, he knew that only the impossible could have taken place. But he realized that Paul and Silas was attached to the impossible. He realized that. So him and his family was saved throughout the situation, throughout this incident. Are you walking in a place, in a situation that you got things going on, and your actions show difference, and because of your actions, you're steering somebody away? We need to use Paul and Silas as an example. I said it as an example that to show when you are in a that God cannot be minimized, that your faith, the faith that you have in God, that anything is possible because there's nothing impossible for God, and that God will use us in any place, any circumstances, any trial and tribulations. You never know what you're going through, that if God is using you to help someone else, as this situation took place, to bring a guard in his entire family to Christ, to salvation. We have to pay attention. Let's move into today. When we get into our circumstances and situations, the antidote has been given. Because one thing about this story, why I love this story, the answer to what I need to move from one situation to another situation, when I'm heavy laden, I'm burdened, I feel like nothing else can help, or whatever the circumstances is overcoming me, is to pray and praise God. The answer was given. This story gives you the answer. This story also tells you about faith. This story also tells you about pushing and continue. Don't give up. Don't allow your circumstances or situations to beat you. You be a resolution to the problem. And your resolution is going to God. Your resolution is taking yourself out of the situation and allowing God the applications that God has given you, the tools that he has given you. And you learn these things as you develop that relationship with God. You learn these things. You know who God is. You know because of experiences. Not even though I read this story about Paul and Silas, and I read it before I went through my deathly experience. But one thing about it, I was able to go back into this story and the story of Hezekiah and take some of the things that they did because they were successful. They were successful stories, and I was able to sit and go back into the book that God put before us as an instructional tool and apply some of the things that they did. But one thing that I could not, that I did not have that they had, and one thing, my faith is not going to be the same as your faith. It's what you sit and how much you put into what you have going, because none of us are ever going to be the same. But it's what you want from God. It's how bad you want God, how much you want him to do things into your life. How bad do you want God to move in your life? And then do you truly believe that he is a way maker? Do you truly believe that he is the healer? Paul and Silas didn't get in there and didn't worry, just like Daniel in the den, in the lion's den. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't worry when they got into their situation. What they did tell Nebuchadnezzar that it didn't matter what you do because my God is going to be there for me. Whether he delivers me out of this situation or I go into the kingdom that he has already prepared for me. And this is where we need to allow our faith to go. And building faith is praying as well. It's praising. It's having situations where you know that you cannot speak. or win whatever it is, but with the application of God, with the application of knowing that God is our Father, that God is our everything, our provider. He is my everything. He is my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my provider. He is my everything. And this is why I encourage everybody else to continue to work in building your relationship. We can never sit and say, oh, I got a secure relationship with God. Our relationship is a continuous thing. And how do we continually do it? We continue to pray. We continue to praise. We continue to go into a worship place with him. As we continue to do these things, things will change. That enhances our faith. We know that God, it shows us how much that God loves us. It shows us that the power being is everything, that power is what moves everything. It's not us. It's what God has chosen to put inside of us. It's what God's power, this scripture, Acts 16, read it, shows the power, how powerful God is. When you sit and put powerful, you have to put so much emphasis on it. I mean, it's not enough in your body to put enough emphasis on the power that God has. It's not enough emphasis. But every single day, it's that power that wakes us up. Every single day is that power when we allow it to lead us from A to B. Every single day, the power of God is walking with us. And one thing about Paul and Silas that they knew as well, the same thing as Daniel, the same thing as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and practically every single person in the Bible that had a situation that God was not going to leave them nor forsake them. The people that God had called on, the stories that's in the Bible that stands out. Can you imagine that there were so many things just like in our day-to-day life that was going on that was never recorded? But the stories that God put into this Bible to help us, to use as tools, as instruments, to build us and to lead us and to guide us. Can you imagine everything that these people went through? But God never left them nor forsake them. God gives some very, very hard assignments, just like Apostle Temple said the other day. You do not want to sit and be praying to be put in a place of a prophet because it carries so much weight. I would sit and say all the gifts that God gave us in Ephesians 4, they come with a heavy, it's not even a title because the words are not even capitalized. It comes with a heavy responsibility. But at the end of the day, if you apply what God has given you to your life, the things that you apply to it will help you get to the next level. The prophet, can you sit and imagine the things that they have to sit and go through? But the beauty of it is when God speaks to them and shows them, that means that they have an open line of communication. They have an open line where they're able to go back and say, Father, is this what you said? Because I don't want to deliver this message wrong. I want to make sure. Do you understand the doom? Everybody look for something great to come out, but do you understand the doom that comes in with being a prophet? But the great thing, they have a beautiful relationship with God. They may go through some ugly things. They may sit and be embarrassed about some different things, but they have a beautiful open line of communication with God. All of us are not prophets, but we can put ourselves in a place where we're able to communicate with God for ourselves. We don't have to sit and wait. We don't have to sit and twiddle our thumbs when you're in a revival and say, okay, is the prophet coming to me to tell me something? Because I'm waiting for him to come and tell me. No, communicate with God. Paul and Silas communicated with God. Paul and Silas knew their assignment. Paul and Silas knew the benefits that had been the tools that they had been given to be successful in bringing the lost to the storehouse to where they would obtain salvation as well. Paul and Silas knew, and this is what the Bible is here for. And when you start reading the different scriptures, that's why when I see that the doors open, I didn't look at it as a fairy tale. I said, my God, you can do things like that? My God, I want to be, I start bringing damnation on my own self. God, I want to be a part of stuff like that. I want to see you move like that, not knowing different things that you be asking for, but you don't have to ask for those things. You just sit and start communing with God. And knowing your situation at that time and allowing him to lead you and to guide you and to continue to push no matter what, no matter how that circumstance looks before you, no matter how long it may take, no matter how long you may be walking around in agony, no matter how long you sitting in and you can't move from A to B because you don't have the finances, but you're trusting God to do a movement because you're walking in obedience and discipline and knowing that you are doing the things or you're in a, where none of us are perfect. But when we get into a situation where we're failing or we're doing things that we know is a sin against God, we confess those things, and then we move on. We confess, we repent, and we move on, trusting that God is going to do what he says that he's going to do. So I sit and urge you all to continue to push, push by praising, push by praying. Ask God to keep a song on your heart, and your heart will send that song to your mind, and then allow your mind to allow it to blurt out. It don't matter if you can't sing. It does not matter. It's how you do it. It's what you're doing. It's where you coming from in your heart. I can attest to people could tell you, oh, Nita, you could sing like a bird, but when my situation came, my lungs, my vocal cords dried out, but it didn't make a difference because I wasn't there. I'm not here to please man. I made a conscious decision that I'm going to pray and praise God no matter how it sounds. I'm going to confess this to him. You never know what if to man it may sound terrible. But to man, you may still have that Angelica voice. You may still have it. It's what you put into it. It's who you putting it into. Don't put yourself in the shit. Paul and Silas wasn't sitting there worrying about that jailer. They wasn't worrying about man. They were sitting there knowing what God could do for them. They were sitting there knowing that if they pray and they praise, what was going to take place. They might have not knew that the jail cell was going, that the foundation was going to shake, but they was in a place where they did. They used the tools. They used what they had been taught. They used what had gotten them from point A to point B that did not fail them. See, sometimes we abort stuff because it didn't happen when we wanted to happen. But they were in a situation not knowing their fate, not knowing what might have took place, not knowing if they was going to get waking up every 3 hours and beat again, not knowing if they was going to get a dagger put through them. But the bottom line, you're not going to find any place in that scripture, Acts 6, where they were discouraged. You're not going to see any place where they came and they said, oh, they cried out to God, oh, Lord, help me. They prayed. The Bible says they prayed. And they found songs, hymns, and they prayed. If somebody on the line that can help me, come on and help me, because I know it's so much more into this story that we can go a little bit further. Is there anyone? Apostle, you there? Or you, what?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here. Oh, what? Well, okay, I'm here. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. You know, one thing about that we have to understand, when people When you look at pushing, they look at something for something that you are digging out for your own personal willpower. I just really want you to understand what pushing is, because it's not have anything to do with your willpower. And I notice how people describe pressing and pushing, and they basically trying to describe their personal willpower for that as a situation that they don't want to give up. So they look at the fact of negativity like a negativity fact of their self pretty much giving up. Well, pushing doesn't have, when we say press and push, you know, I really want to give you the perfect meaning of it from the gospel standpoint. It doesn't have anything to do with your demeanor. It doesn't have anything to do with your ability. Because one thing about God, he knows that, number one, your ability cannot take you through take you through a lot of things. Amen. Because if we could be able to make things better ourselves, we'll have made it better a long time ago. You know, a long time ago, we'll have been made it great ourselves. So we got to look at pushing, really pushing, and we pressing, and that's something that Paul did in his time, and that's something even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did. What they did, you know, through opposition, what they did, no matter what, they stayed true to God. That's the number one thing, that in your midst of your situation, you want to stay true to who? You want to stay true to God. And if so many people doesn't be true to God, they more true to themselves, and they more true to what they're going through, because a lot of times many people don't want to go through certain things because they know how I feel. They don't want to thinking or imagine if my heart get broken. They don't want to imagine if I if this doesn't work out. They don't want to imagine that, you know, I put everything in this, and next thing you know, it fails on me, or it's giving up on me. You know, things is not going to work out. Well, it's not going to work out because you are pressing and you are living your life according to your ability, and you are living your life according to your strength. You're not living your life according to the ability of the Lord or according to the Lord's strength. Amen. You are not withdrawing, you know, from the Lord, but you want God to give you something, but God said all you need to do is withdraw from. So when we push, we got to understand that we are proving ourselves to God. We're not proving ourselves unto no one else, or not to our situation, because our situation ability doesn't lies in us. Our ability lies in who? It lies into God. It lies into the Lord. So when I press, I'm pressing to let the Lord know that I meant what I said. When I told you for the Lord I live and for God I die, I meant what I said. When I press, or when you keep on pressing, God, I meant what I said. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about my walk with you. It's about what you told me. It's about, you know, I'm not going to give up or throw in the towel on what you said. Amen. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they would not throw in the towel for nobody. So what they had to do, no matter what the opposition is, you know, it's just like this here. Just like, you know, that woman of God said, if I perish, let me perish. That meant they were like, hey, at the end of the day, you could throw me in the dungeon, you could throw me in the fire, but I will spend my time, or we'll spend our journey with the Lord. If he ain't showed up right now, but one thing about it, we already know he has a plan. I don't need to question it. I don't need to worry about it. All I know that he has a what? He has a plan. The next thing you know, God show up in the midst of your circumstances. It's not because I didn't believe he wouldn't show up. I wasn't worrying about he showing up. The only thing I know, you got to look at it like this. One thing that you should know, that if he does show up, great. If he doesn't show up, still great. Because either way it go, it's the reason why God does what he want to do, or does how he do it. But one thing I do know, whatever the reason may be, I know the reason that he don't want bad for me. He don't want me to walk in poverty. He don't want me to walk in lack. He don't want things to overtake me, things to conquer me. He told me I am more than a conqueror. So I'm proving myself myself to God when I press. I'm pressing on a word of God. When I press, I'm pressing on a promise of God. When I press, I'm pressing on the ability of God. Because it's not my might, nor is by my strength. It's by the what? Y'all about to come on here this morning and wake up. It's by the presence of the Lord. It's by the power of the Lord. So when we use the term press, I don't want you to use the term of your ability, thinking about you pressing through a situation you're going through or you making it through. No, baby, that's your time to prove yourself to God. It don't got nothing to do with you. It don't got nothing to do with your family. It don't got nothing to do with what came down the pipeline. It don't got nothing to do with what they said, how they said they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Things don't look good. They ain't going to look good. That's your time to shine. That's your time to stand up for the Lord. That's your time. Say, let it be. If I perish, let me perish, because at the end of the day, I'm still going to be with who? Y'all better talk to me this morning. With the King. Y'all about to hear me this morning. So it's not your ability. And when you begin to prove, or God can have trust in you, because a lot of times God don't have trust, my God, in some of the words that some of us say out of our mouth. Because we, like I said on yesterday, we'll say one thing and do another thing. We'll say one thing in that moment, but the next moment we got something else going on. Amen. God cannot believe things that comes out of our mouth, because you might be sincere at that moment, but at the end of the day, you are not genuine. Because let time tell. How many of us at one point in our church walk, in our Christian walk, the Spirit of God was on us, he purging us. My God, our prayer life is shooting up. Things is going forth. Things is going good. I'm sharing, I'm in my word. My God, I can speak for some of the ADM members. They were faithful in the morning broadcast, but now they dropping off. Some of them, they come on when they feel like it, they late. But at one point when the Spirit was dealing with them, they was gone in and all out. They was rolling and all that kind of stuff. But when God said, now I need you to mature, now I need you to come to the well, now I need you to go ahead and come to me, can you still have that presence? At one point when my Spirit was on you and I was stirring on you, you was all faithful like I don't know outdoors. But now you want to cry this, you want to say this, you got an issue with that. Now I don't bless you all outdoors. You can't even listen in because you don't work so hard the night before. You can't even get up and get my praise. But who you was calling on when you didn't have no job? Who when you was calling on when the doctor's report did not come back good and you need somebody to step in for your life? Who that you was calling on, that same roof that you got a shelter on and keeping you away from the rain, keeping you out of the cold, keeping you in the warm? Who did you call on for that shelter when you didn't have that shelter? Who that you called on when you need transportation? Who that you called on when you need finances to come in your life? But now when things, my God, is looking on the up, you got a room to breathe. My God almighty, you got something else going on in your life. You got another movement going on in your life. That's the worst thing. My God, I got to stand up on that. That's the worst thing that y'all could do with the Lord. Many of you say, God, I'm just so faithful. I'm so holy. I just love you. I just love you. Baby, your actions speak louder than words. Are you still pressing in your prayer life? Are you still pressing to hold on with God? One moment you're faithful to the movement, but next moment you want to do what you want to do. What is it? What is your situation looking like today? Why is God is not coming to your knee? Why is God is not coming to your rescue? It's not because you're not a child of God. I want to let you know you're still a child of God. You're still a daughter of God. You're still a son of God. Maybe the words that coming out of your mouth, my God almighty, is speaking something else, and God is looking at a whole nother situation. What is it, my God almighty? It lies in your hand. Oh, Jesus, I'm about to hollow my own self. Yes. Amen. We have to look at our own effectiveness in the spirit realm. It don't got nothing to do with apostle or the prophet or the evangelist. Baby, it got something to do with your walk. I love the mothers and fathers of the old, because they could talk about them all they want. You could talk about them, how they talk about saying their hymns, and they come on with their hymns. But one thing I love about the mamas of old, they won't let nothing separate them for the love of God. That's why they could say, I could go to mama and mama get a prayer through. Reason why mama get a prayer through, baby, when it wasn't
food coming on that table, mama still walk with God. Baby, when the situation didn't look right, mama still walk with God. Baby, when you was out there running in them streets and mama had a vision that the enemy trying to take you out, mama still stayed with God. When the eviction notice came to mama door, she didn't know how to pay the bill. She didn't know which way to go. Mama still stayed with God. Mama proved herself through the hard times. God gonna make that bacon through the hard times. God gonna scratch that dollar. My God Almighty, is he anybody this morning? My God Almighty, God could say the same for you. So we gotta understand. My God, I gotta get out of here. We have to understand that how we are effective in our life, it determines on us. Don't let folks fool you that they got some special anointing that God gave that man or woman of God. That's why that form of terminology is being ripped up. Don't let people fool you. Oh, that's a chosen vessel of God. Baby, no. That don't got nothing to do with why a man or woman or I walk in healing, things happening for me. No, baby, you got to understand, you might be listening to Pastor right now and say God is blessing his family and blessing him. Baby, you better understand we constantly proving ourselves to God. It be times I just be ready to walk away from different things, but I say, God, it's not my will, but it's your will. It be times things get pressed, I say, God, I will depend on you. It doesn't matter what it looks like, God, I'm going to still walk with you. So in other words, it doesn't matter what God gave me, what God is blessing us with, what God is doing for, because the more he do, the more I get fear in me and want to get closer to him. Why? Because I feel to let anything separate me from the love of God. Pastor, you still coming on this line? Baby, I be on this line every morning, even though I don't say nothing. The evangelists, them be doing a great job, because I don't have to be on and say something all the time. I got a mandate. My God, I got an executive meeting with the women of God, with the men of God, in the presence of the living God. I don't look at as these women of God giving me a word. I got a mandate at an executive meeting that I got to have with the Lord, because they could be saying something out of their mouth and God could be giving me something else for my day, for showing me something that I need to deal with. I need to pray. And a lot of times, if you listen close enough, they can give you the answer to what you believe. So, baby, I want to encourage somebody. You better get yourself up. You better start pushing yourself, because you have got, my God, God got his eyes on you. You got to, don't push yourself when it's time. God, I just need you to show up now. I need you to do something right now. Baby, I don't got time for that. God want to know, are you going to praise me in the season? Are you going to praise me out of season? Are you going to praise me when you feel like it? Are you going to praise me when you don't feel like it? Are you going to shout for joy when you got money coming in? Are you going to shout for joy when your money looking funny? Are you going to praise me when I give you a good doctor's report? Will you praise me? Do they find symptoms on you? Are you going to praise me when it raining in your life? Or are you going to praise me when it ain't raining in your life? Or I'm your God, my God, when you need me to be your God. Or I'm your God when you love, that you say you love me, that you say you are with me, or I am. Where is your place, saints of God? I'm out. Back to you, evangelist.
And do you all see what the or what brings? Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Glory, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, on this day, Father God, for that divine intervention, Father God, for that rhema word of God, Father God, because as you all know, we all needed it. We all need, God knows just what we need when we need it. And that's where that comes, where a person that's sitting with God and communing with God and drinking and walking and talking can deliver what needs to be delivered at that time. See, that's what Paul and Silas went through. I don't need to say anymore, because the word of God has went forth. What I will do is, as I do every morning, welcome you back on tomorrow morning, let you know Sharon is caring. Come back, break the bread of life, and drink the living waters with God, because this is where he wants us to be right now. God makes no mistake That word went forth because God makes no mistakes. God knows what needs to be said. And you all need to be in a place as myself to receive it and to apply it. And know that God is not a God that you can pick up today and put down tomorrow, because he does not pick you up and put you down. He walks with you forevermore. That's how faithful he is. And that's where that pushing comes in, because we're going to remain faithful to him as of this day. We all need to hear it. So we'll see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. You never know what God has in store for you. It's not what we have in store, but what God has in store. Apostle Temple, I'm just telling you, I thank you for allowing God to show up and show out, and just you continuing to be the faithful servant that you are. We bless your holy name with God being the just, head of your life. We just thankful.
It's just the raw, natural born truth. And I really want people to understand, because we around here trying to get more power, and God says that it's not in that, the ability. See, when people say, I want more power for you, I want more power, God, because they watch somebody else. They watch somebody else what looks like it's magnificent, and they want the same thing. Because at the end of the day, it ain't about no power. It's about an answer. You know, I want a response. I want a response from heaven. And when we understand that, that what we see, healing and all this, this is a response from heaven. This is heaven granting a petition and granting you the authorization to do what you need to do. Amen. That's all it is about, is a response. And to get a good, proper response, it's great to have, watch this, a great relationship. Amen. Many of people don't have a great relationship, but they think they could dictate the response from God, because in their situation, they think that God is supposed to feel sorry for them and they're supposed to have pity for them in their situation. One thing about I know about God, God is a God that he deals with prevention. He want to prevent you from going into certain things and walking a certain way and different things happening to us. But sometimes we got to admit it, that we could be hard-headed and we just want to do it ourselves. Then once we get in ourselves, because we think we know it all, and we nobody else don't know nothing, and once we get caught up in the jam, now you got to go right back to the same folks, or go right back over the bridge that you don't cross and pray to God you done burnt it, amen, trying to look for a way out of this nonsense. And some people, they just have pride. They'll just sit at the bridge and won't even try to cross it, won't even try to go and get help, and they'll just sit right there with their proper self and put on this fake in front and live their life with a fake in front, and it's not nothing that they are nothing that they have going on that is really true. Now, you go and try to pray to God with all that nonsense going on. You go and with a petition with God with all that nonsense going on. It's just like my wife coming home with a Halloween mask going, Halloween mask on, and she want to have a conversation with me without her true identity. She want to have a conversation or a relationship with me, not showing who she truly is. See, God want to know who you truly are. He don't want to hear all. I'm telling you, y'all, listen. You're listening to the man got a strong prayer life. You know, I don't want to boast bragging about it. I'm telling you, I know ins and outs through having an effective prayer life. God don't want to listen to all that made up stuff. He want to listen to the truth of you. The truth of you are so effective, man, and so powerful, because you are stripping yourself naked before the living God. And when you do that, you got to understand something. Every person in the Bible, you start going through Bible, the only person that I know probably didn't have no issue with Enoch, because they really didn't get into the story. But everybody that God used, they had what? They had some issues. They had problems. But one thing about it, they was true to who they are, and they was true to God. That's the fact. Don't swive away from the Bible, from the gospel, because you're looking at some Hollywood entertainment stuff that goes on in a four-wall building or in a church. Amen? Don't look at that stuff. Look at the walk of God in the Bible. When you read the Bible, you could see that David had a flesh issue, but God still dealt with him. Paul had some past issue that the man of God we were just talking about had some issues. My God, when I'm talking about some issue, he had some slaying issues, some murder
mirror issue. He going to kill folks. My God, but God still did what? He used him in a mighty way. We found out that Noah had an alcohol issue, but God still saved him, and not only him, but his family and livestock as well. My God, we found that not only Moses had, my God, a stuttering issue, he had a temper issue as well, but God still used him in a mighty way. You got to look at the gospel, and when you see the gospel for what it is, you'll see that people don't expose their ugliness in the inside, and God say, I can use you. Reason why God can't use many of us and use us like he should, because we still got our October 31st mask on for 10 years ago. Amen. We still got our Halloween costume on for 15 years ago. Baby, strip that stuff off, because at this point in y'all life, these folks don't pay your bills. They don't take care of you. They are not your physician. These folks ain't putting no food on your table. So I don't know who you trying to put up a front for and who you trying to make. You better stop that nonsense, and you better live for God, because just to show the one got a finger pointed at you, they got a finger that they need. They got three fingers or five fingers that they need to point right back at themselves. You better believe that. Whose life are you going to live for? And this is the power of prayer. It's not going into, my God, I'm going to go into shed. I love everybody. She got no, 5 and 10 hours, and I come out all dim and just, and all I did is really suppress the oxygen going in my head, and it woke me. I got up off the ground. We call it drunk. Some of you call it drunk, but all you did just suppress the oxygen in your head. Now you're stagnant, your vision is blurred, and you think you did something. Let's get out of that nonsense. Because the true power is in a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. When you have a relationship, my God, with somebody you truly love and somebody you truly want to be with, you will be with them. You don't have to talk about, you will be with them. And when you ain't with them, even if y'all get tired of each other, y'all about to hear me. Y'all, even if you get tired of each other, at the end of the day, that's still my boo. That's still my baby. My God, wait a minute. A couple hours ago, you were just tired of me. Now, here it goes. 30 minutes later, you want to give me a call? Yeah, because the truth is, I cannot be without you. I still need you. That's the same thing with God. Even though I can vent in life sometimes, talk about things I'm just upset about, but at the end of the day, nobody don't have to tell me I need to spend an hour with. I spend most of my time with God all day, every day. Lord, my God, it's my walk, because why? That's my boo. My God, how many of you remember your first time you got in a relationship, when you first met that man or you first met that woman? Y'all got all these butterflies going on. You know, you're on your job. You're sneaking, talking to him. Hey, babe, you know I'm at work. Girl, I was just thinking about you. That's so sweet. Where you want to go? I want to go and get something to eat when I get off. Can you come pick me up? Yeah, babe, I come pick you up. Hey, here you go. 2 hours later, baby, I just want to send you a text and just say, I'm just thinking about you. Amen. My God, I declare in the decree this morning that you will return back to your first love. You will return back to the one, my God, that you felt in love with. Nobody won't have to tell you to get up and pray, because you want to meet your first love. Nobody don't have to tell you you need to get up and cook something to eat. My God, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about spiritually. Getting the Bible and cooking you a message for your own self. Cooking you something to eat for your own self. Encouraging your own self. Telling yourself, I shall live and not die. Telling yourself, I'm above and not believe. Telling yourself, I'm more than a conqueror. Telling yourself, whose report I shall believe. Telling yourself, when the enemy come in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Telling yourself, my God Almighty, for the Lord is my life in my God, whom shall I fear? Telling yourself, I can do all things through Christ, my God, who's strengthening me. We have to understand that. It's your ability. You don't want stopping your relationship. And some of us don't even know how to have a proper relationship. Amen. Selfish. We want things our way. And we run God like that. Selfish. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. God said, I just need you to get up and spend some time with me without the world going on. I need you to just get up and talk to me. without something having to transpire in your life. I just need you to do that. So we, some of us, need to learn how to have a functional relationship. We're still in a dysfunctional relationship, and that's what's stopping your prayer life. That's what's stopping God coming into your rescue. That's what's stopping things, my God, that this saying that they say, you know, my blessing, my God, may be delayed, but as long as I know it's not denied, baby, I don't give a care what they say. I don't find no good in that at all, because at the end of the day, I don't even want my blessings delayed, because why? Delayed, I could lose my house. I could lose my car. Some of us, we can lose our life, and our blessings are still delayed. No, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. I want my blessing on time. I want it when it's supposed to be released. I want it at the set timing of God. I want it in my season. I want it out of my season. I don't need it delayed. I don't want it denied. I don't need none of that going on. I need the wonders of heaven open up. I need to pour out. I don't need nothing to hold it on to it. I want my package when I'm supposed to get my package at my front door. Hallelujah. I got to go, y'all. I got to go. But we have to understand that. And when we understand that, we understand that that's the true essence to walk in the power of prayer. It's just you stopping yourself. My God, some of us pray for things we don't even believe ourselves. Some of us speak things out our mouth that we don't even believe ourselves. How in the world you don't believe it and you expect God to believe it? Y'all, come on here. My God, I got to go. I'm finna go now, because I want to do a series of teaching of this, because you really understand the effectiveness of a prayer is really having an effective relationship with God. Because when you get on the floor and pray, who you praying to? You're praying to who? The Lord. So what if your relationship is not really intact with the Lord? How are you going to have an effective prayer life to somebody you really don't have a relationship with? I'll holler at y'all later. I'm out of here, Evangelist. Back to you.
Shalom. We will see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Take this word in, let it resonate, and then apply it. We love you, and we leave you with nothing but peace. In your day, in the hour, in the minute, just walk in peace. Love you.